I wanted to speak a little bit about a topic that's actually related to this past week's parsha, and as we'll see, has probably a much broader range of relevance than you'd imagine. If you take a look at the Maran Makomo sheet, the first Maran Makom is a piece from the Minchas Chinuch on last week's parsha, discussing the mitzvah of Tashbisu. We know, I imagine, that on Pesach, there is an Isser of owning chametz. There is the Isser of Bal Yeroah and Bal Yimatzeh. You cannot, not only can't you eat chametz, but you cannot even possess chametz on Pesach. Besides there being a negative, a mitzvah lo saaseh, in Bal Yeroah and Bal Yimatzeh, there's also a positive commandment of Tashbisu Sa'ar Mibateichem. There's a positive commandment that a person has to destroy whatever chametz he has in his possession. The Minchas Chinuch asks the question of what, tries to figure out what type of mitzvah is this mitzvah of Tashbisu. Is it that it is a negative commandment, meaning that it is that it is a positive way of staying the negative commandment, meaning Tashbisu, you have to destroy the chametz, meaning that you just can't own any chametz. Meaning is it what we call a mitzvah of Sheva Al Taseh. That as long as I don't own chametz, I am mekayim, just like I'm not over the lo saseh, I'm also being mekayim the mitzvah saseh, meaning that I have fulfilled the mitzvah of tashbisu by not having chametz. Or no, is it what we call a mitzvah kumva aseh? Is it an active mitzvah that I have to go out and destroy chametz? Meaning that if I do not own any chametz, I am not over the iser bal yiroah bal yimatzeh, however, I've also not been mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu. That this mitzvah of Tashbisu is only if I had chametz and I went and I destroyed the chametz. The Minchas Chinuch himself thinks that this is a mitzvah of Sheva Al Taseh. That there's nothing you have to do to be mekayim mitzvah of Tashbisu. The fact that you do not own chametz not only gets you out of the negative commandment of Bal Yeroah Bal Yimatzeh, but it also gives to you the positive mitzvah of Tashbisu. Not everybody agrees with the Minchas Chinuch, notably the Nesivos, in the Sefer on Pesach. Makor Chaim says that no, that this in fact is a positive mitzvah, that a person has to destroy chametz in order to be Mekayim Tashbisu. If a person merely does not own chametz, he only was not over the Lo Saseh, but he does not get credit for the Mitzvah Saseh. And in fact, the Nesivos uses to explain a minhag that we all have. Whenever we do bedikas chametz, we put out 10 pieces of bread. What's the reason for it? So there's an old wives' tale, which actually is quoted by some svarim, that the reason that we put out this bread is in order that shouldn't to be a bracha vatolah. If we do bedikas chametz, you don't find anything, you make a bracha on the bedika, you don't find anything, it'll be a bracha vatolah. The overwhelming majority of opinions think that that can't be right. Why are you not making a bracha on finding chametz? You're making a bracha on looking for chametz. If you look for chametz, you don't find it, you looked all the same. So if that's the case, if all you have to do is look for the chametz, and even if you come empty-handed, so that means your wife did a good job, you did a good job, whoever did, that there's no more chametz left. So why is it that we have this minute to put out these pieces of bread? So Nesiva says, I'll tell you why. Because if in fact we would go and we look for chametz, and we wouldn't find any chametz, yes, we would not have a problem with the Medika, we would Mekayim the Medika, however, you would never be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Tashbisu. The Mitzvah of Tashbisu, to destroy Chametz, is an active Mitzvah, where you have to have Chametz to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. So therefore, we put out Chametz, so we know we could find Chametz, and therefore, the next morning, we'll have something to burn, and not only won't we be over Bal Yeroah Bal Yimatzeh, but we'll also be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Tashbisu. That is the opinion of the Nesivos. If you look at the second Maran Makom, the Chaim Sanzer, this Divrei Chaim disagrees strongly with the Divrei Chaim. He says as follows, he says, maybe the Divrei Chaim is right. Maybe the Minchas Chinuch is wrong. Maybe it is an act of mitzvah to go out and burn chametz. However, it would only be an act of mitzvah if you have chametz. He gives an example. Said that there are many mitzvahs out there that you sometimes come across and sometimes you don't come across. For example, he gives the interesting example, Git. One of the 613 mitzvahs is to divorce your wife. So the yes as follows. He says, obviously it's a mitzvah to give your wife a get if you're no longer interested in being married to her. However, if someone's still interested, we encourage him, Go give a get. You know, come on. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Do a mitzvah. Go divorce your wife. We'll do outreach. We'll put up posters. Anyone should go divorce their wife. You know, if you're Yisrael, you're a lady, you can undo it. If you're a Kohen, no. There's always next time. But you know, everyone should try to do whatever mitzvahs they can. So obviously, the Divrei Chaim takes the approach that even if the Nesivus is right, that you're only Makai the mitzvah of Tashbisu, if you burn chametz, still, why do you have to put yourself in a situation of having chametz to burn? This is one of those mitzvahs where, in the event that you have the chametz, then it's a mitzvah to burn it. But if you don't have the chametz, it's not a mitzvah to burn it. There's no reason that a person has to run after this type of mitzvah. And that's the focus I want to have a little bit this morning. Is this true? Is there any reason why we would have to put ourselves in a situation where there is a mitzvah? There are a lot of mitzvahs out there that, you know, sometimes they come up, sometimes they don't come up. A person can go through his entire life without running into certain mitzvahs. Right? Mitzvah of chalitza. Right? Chalitza is one of the mitzvahs. How many people get to do chalitza in a lifetime? It's very rare. We don't encourage it. You know, if it happens, it happens. But you know, no one will tell you, you have to go kill your brother over it. You know? If it is, it is. So right? Is there any reason to try to put yourself in a situation? Yibam would be the same thing. So that's the question. Is the Divrei Chaim right or is the Nesivus right? Do we have to, is there any inyan, shall we say, to run around trying to put ourselves into a makom chiyuv, into a place where we can do mitzvahs, or no? All these, whenever a mitzvah comes our way, we should do it. However, it doesn't come our way, it doesn't come our way. It's very interesting. Rav Hirschman from Montreal was nifter not long ago. His grandfather wrote a sefer on the Minchas Chinuch, called the Minchas Solas, and that is well known. In his sefer, he actually answers the Divrei Chaim. He says, he admits that prima facie, we would not encourage people to divorce their wives straight, but there are times that even that mitzvah you run after. He said he's even wrong there. Why? So the Gemara discusses in the beginning of Zavachim a situation where of an adulterous wife. So a woman who is adulterous is not allowed to live halachically with the man that she was not married to, and she can no longer live with her husband as well. So Tosfos asks the question, okay, so it's also for the husband and wife to live together anymore. Does that mean they have to get divorced? Or can they remain married and not have relations? Would that be okay? So Tosfos assumes that no, that just it's an issue of having relations. Technically, they don't have to get divorced. They can remain married that way as well. So the Minchas Solas says, yeah, but there's a situation where a person would be encouraged to run after the mitzvah of get. Then that would be a situation that even though technically they don't have to get divorced, and you're a situation like that, we would encourage the person to be mekayim the mitzvah because there's no sense in remaining married anymore. So he takes the opinion of the Nesivus that no, we, to the extent possible, we try to encourage all mitzvahs, whatever they might be. This issue actually goes back to the Gemara. There's a famous Gemara in Menachos, number 3, we'll read it inside. Malacha Ashkari L'Rav Ketina Michsi V'Sadina. A Malach ran into Rav Ketina. Rav Ketina was an Amora, and he saw that he was wearing a sheet. And the type of sheet he was wearing was not Chayv and Tzitzis. So the Malach says to him, Amr Le, Ketina, Ketina, my good friend Ketina. Sadina bekaita v'sarva besitua titcha shavchiras mateyaleha. If you're constantly going to be wearing clothing at different times of the years that are not chayv and tzitzis, how are you ever going to be mekayim the mitzvah? So he's giving him mussar. How come you're not wearing a beged that's chayv in dalav kanfus? Armalei ashisu asay. So he continues. I'm going to get punished for not being mekayim the mitzvah asay. So I didn't do anything wrong, I just didn't do something right. So the Malach tells him, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at you for something else, he's going to get you for this also. Don't worry, yeah, you're not going to get punished for this, but when there's going to come a time when you're going to get punished for something, they're going to pile it on for this as well. What's the understanding of this Gemara? So there's a machlokas between Tosfos here in Menachos and the Russian Moe Katan trying to understand what was it the Rav Katina was doing wrong that the Malach was so upset about. Tosfos understands that this is exactly the case we're talking about. What was going on? So, Rav Katina was wearing clothing. Much like we wear clothing. Clothing that we wear, that a normal American, that a normal Western person walks around in, does not contain Dalet Kanfos, right? If you live in the Amazon, maybe you're wearing a poncho that has Dalet Kanfos on it. But the shirts that we wear, the pants that we wear, it's interesting. Our shirts do, in fact, have Dalet Kanfos. If you just unbutton your shirt, there's two over here, there's two down there. Shai, why don't we have to wear tzitzis on our shirts? Right, it has Dalet Kanfos, so the din is actually two in the front, two in the back. These are all four in the front. So, but what we wear nowadays is not chayim Dalet Kanfos. In order to be mekayim the mitzvah, what do? We buy a special beged. That beged is chayim in tzitzis, and we put tzitzis on that beged. So what was going on here? So this is the case here. They said Rav Katina was dressing like a normal human being, was dressed at those times, and he did not have Dalet Kanfos because he did not go buy himself a pair of tzitzis. Therefore, the Malach told him that, well, technically you're not doing anything wrong. Ultimately, you will be punished for this. So what do you see from there? So according to Tosfos' reading of our Gemara here in Menachos, he says that you see from here that the din is that somebody has a certain level of chiyuv to put himself into a makom chiyuv. Even though the person who's not wearing the Dalet Kanfos technically is not chayiv in tzitzis, still, a person who should go out and get himself Dalet Kanfos in order that he will be chayv in tzitzis. So you see from here what seems to be support for the nesivos, that Gemara seems to be saying clearly that yes, while technically there's no punishment for it, still there is a very strong inyan that somebody should put themselves into a makom chayv, that a person should go out of his way to make himself chayv to do a mitzvah so he can be mekayim the mitzvah. That is the opinion of Tosfos. The Rosh, however, disagrees. The Rosh says, no, the facts are all wrong here. What was going on? So what was going on is the time of Rav Katina, the natural clothing was the type that required tzitzis. People wore togas. I don't know what exactly it looked like. They were wearing some sort of robe that naturally would be chayv in tzitzis. And Rav Katina went out of his way to round off one of the corners, so that he would not be chayiv in tzitzis. And that's what he got punished for. It's not that he did not put himself into a makom chayiv, but rather he took himself out of a makom chayiv. And that's something you get punished for. If somebody is chayiv to do a mitzvah, then rather than doing the mitzvah, he sets up a situation where he no longer has to do the mitzvah, that's a bad thing. However, if someone naturally is not in a makom chiyuv, there's no reason that the person has to go be mechayiv himself to do the mitzvah. So we're seeing that this machlokas rishonim between the Rosh and Tosfos is the same machlokas achronim as we had between the Nesivos and the Divrei Chaim. Yes?
It's not an exceptional case. You're supposed to see the tzitzis. I mean, there's a philosophical reason to do it.
I don't think that's true. I think I'm wearing tzitzis now. They're tucked in, and I'm perfectly happy with that. It's not because I'm worried that you're a bunch of anti-Semites who will kill me for wearing my tzitzis out. I don't think that's true. I think tzitzis is a mitzvah unto itself. The fact that it says re'isem oso, so we darshan that means that it has to do with day versus night, not that you actually have to wear it out. There's some people who are makbet to wear their tzitzis out. I think Rav Moshe Feinstein, among other Orthodox Jews, don't assume that way.
Maybe the
tzitzis itself is different. Oh, so there are people, the Rabbeinu Yonah actually says that at one point. He says that tzitzis is different. Only tzitzis you have to run after because it's shkula keneged, it's the equivalent of all the other mitzvahs. You're not on half the mitzvahs, ultimately, are shkula keneged kolam mitzvahs. Now, Talmud Torah is keneged kolam. There's no shortage of mitzvahs that shkula keneged kolam mitzvahs. But that is raised as a possibility. There are other makaras as well. So again, ultimately, tzitzis is not the other makar. Let's give an example. Let's take a look at number four in the sheet. Dorish Rav Simloi, b'nei manasav Moshe Rabbeinu likonis l'Eretz Yisrael. What was Moshe Rabbeinu so interested about going to Israel about? So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go. Kadosh Baruch Hu said no, so it's no. You have to get so worked up about going to Eretz Yisrael. What was the reason for it? Is that he wanted to eat Sabra? He wanted to eat Pamela? He wanted to eat You want to have a good falafel? Like, what was so great about Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara is so fast that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go there. It's interesting. Digress for a moment. In 1990-91, I was in Eretz Yisrael for the year learning. And that was the year of the Gulf War. So every so often they would have this, you'd have this azaka, you'd have a siren go off, and they would have to go into the sealed rooms and sit there and wait to see what would happen. So I ended up in a sealed room where that the only sefer I had with me was Rav Zalman Soroskin's sefer on Haggadah, Shir VaShevach. And it was the middle of January. It wasn't exactly the first thing on my mind, but you know, I figured it's the only, you don't have anything else to do with this. I sat down and I began reading the Shir VaShevach. So he has a very interesting vort, which happens to be related to this. So the Gemara says here, why is Moshe Rabbeinu going to go? Lech l'pir l'zvav tuva, that's such a great thing. Who needs that? On the other hand, when we make an al-michya, why do we want to do it? We said, lecho b'piriyah zon tuva. Like, oh, this is why we want to go. But the Gemara rejected that as a possibility. So he had a very interesting vort. He says, al-pi kabbalah. He says that eating the peiros, Eretz Yisrael, are a segula for Yerushalayim. A person who eats peiros, Eretz, it gives you a push towards Yerushalayim. So the Gemara also says, on the pasuk, Chima Hashem Shol Meimach, Ki Im Liyira. What does God ask for you? Only Yerushalayim, that's all you have to do. So the Gemara asks, Yerushalayim, Milsa Zutrasahi? What do you mean, only have Yerushalayim? Not a big deal. Yerushalayim is a big deal. So the Gemara answers, not for Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't a big deal. So he said, that's the answer here. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, Lechom Epir is not to what? Moshe Rabbeinu, not the Eretz Yisrael to get what? Yerushalayim? He already had Yerushalayim, he didn't need it. But for the rest of us, that we daven that we should be able to eat it so we can get Yerushalayim. Interesting word. Back to the shir. So the question is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to go? Chilechom Epiriel Zon Tuva, that's what he wanted. El Akachom Moshe. Habe Mitzvos Nistavli Yisrael, Vani Eina Miskaim and Obe Eretz Yisrael. Echlus Anila Ares Kadeshir Iskaim and Kulon Al Yodi. Moshe Rabbeinu said, why do I want to go? Because there are so many mitzvahs that are tchuyos baretz. You'll find that there are so many mitzvahs out there that you can only do in Eretz Yisrael. Trumas and maestras and challah, v'chule, v'chule. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I want to go into Eretz Yisrael in order that what? In order that I can be mekayim the mitzvahs. So what do you see from here? This again seems to be a Gemara somewhat on point. If Moshe Rabbeinu remains in the Midbar, it's not that he's being over any Yisr, that he's not doing Trumas and Maestras. It's not that he's doing anything wrong. Yes, he was never Chayiv in the Mitzvahs, and because he wasn't Chayiv in the Mitzvahs, so he didn't do it. He wants to push to put himself into a Makom Chiyuv, that he wants to go into Yisr in order that he will be Chayiv in the Mitzvahs, in order that he can be Mekayiv it. So what do you see from here? The implication of the Gemara is that Moshe Rabbeinu is pushing himself to go into Eretz Yisrael. Why? In order that he can put himself into a situation where he can do more mitzvahs. So again, you can't say it's a chiyuv, but at least Moshe Rabbeinu, he himself personally held that there was some idea that a person is supposed to put himself into a situation where he's going to be chayiv and doing the mitzvahs. So again, that seems to be a support. There's a third gemara that people point to, but it's a little unclear which way it points. It's a gemara in Chulin. It's number 7 on the sheets. Tanu Rabbanan, ki ikari kan tzipor lefanecha. So discussing the mitzvah of shiluach hakein, it says, ki ikari, if you happen to come upon a bird's nest, etc. Ma tomu lomar, so what say ki ikari? Lefi shenema shaleich tishaleach esaim, vesabarun tikach lach, it's a shaleich tishaleach, that a person should run around, and that a person should go and send away the mother and take the children, yachol yachzul b'har megvoz kadeshim sakein tamaloma ki yikari. I might have thought that there's an Indian, I should run around looking for birds' nests in order that I can be kind of the mitzvah. So therefore the Gemara says, no, it says ki yikari. If you happen upon it, then you do the mitzvah. If you don't happen upon it, there's no reason that you have to run after it. So the question of what side does this support? So the simple reading of the Gemara indicates that it would support that you should run after the mitzvahs. Why should? It says because we have a drasha, ki yikare, which indicates that shiluach hakein is different than all other mitzvahs. How so? This mitzvah you don't have to run after. When it comes to Kansipor, you don't have to run after it. What do you see from there? Every other mitzvah, which doesn't say Ki Yikare, you do have to run after. So some of the Achronim bring down a raya that this Gemara indicates what? That in most cases, a person should be running after mitzvahs, even if you're not chayiv in it, you should try to put yourself in a situation, find not the bird's nest, but find whatever else you can to be mekayim the mitzvah. So that's one school of thought. The second school of thought points to Rashi, which says the opposite. So you look at Rashi, the Gemara says, "Halchi garsinan lefishnei mashaleach teshalach beis ba'amin shomei ani rachso achar mitzvah zos ad shuntavay riyodo." Rashi says, "No, this is a different mitzvah. It said shaleach teshalach. There's a double lashon. I might have thought shaleach teshalach means that this is a special mitzvah where I have to run after it." Talmud lo marki yikare, mean that I would have thought that unlike all other mitzvahs that I don't have to run after, this one I would have to run after because it says shaleach teshalach. Talmud lo mar that no, that because of ki yikare, that this mitzvah is like every other mitzvah that I don't have to run after it. So according to Rashi's gears, it's the exact opposite. According to Rashi's understanding of the Gemara, this does not indicate that most mitzvahs I do run after. It indicates that most mitzvahs you don't run after. Bottom line, this is a machokas Rishonim. Just one other makor on target would be Rabbeinu Yonah on Mishlei, who very clearly takes the position that you do run after mitzvahs on the pasuk Chacham Leiv Yikach Mitzvos Ba'ovil Svasai Yilabet. Master mechapis acher hamitzvus, v'gam ki lo higia chovo liyado misponei b'machshav vosov ezer derech tinsulo mitzvus lasos. Indication being that even when a person does not have a mitzvah in front of him, Rabbeinu Yonah says the person always has to be planning, conniving, trying to get more mitzvahs. Clearly, Rabbeinu Yonah says that this is the indication. So we see from here that there is a general machokes. Machokas Rishonim, Machokas Achronim. Is there what we would call an inyan of redifas hamitzvahs? Do I have to go out of my way to find some havamina that I'm going to be chayiv in a mitzvah so I can be mekayim in the mitzvah instead of just waiting for mitzvahs to come my way? So this is a general machokas, and this would seem to indicate, this would seem to go in any day, even if I did this mitzvah yesterday, always, yes. That's Machokas Achronim. If you look at the Pischei Tshuva in Hilchos Shiluach HaKein, it's of course that there is a Chacham Tzvi, among other people, who discuss, by Shiluach HaKein, if I don't want the eggs, should I do it anyhow, or is it only a mitzvah if I want to do it? So, according to the people who are supporters of the run after mitzvah school of thought, they would say that, yeah, maybe you don't have to do it, but still you should do it. In fact, in Eretz Yisrael, this is a big deal. In Eretz Yisrael, they have sign-up sheets. There are chevras for mitzvahs ne'adarot, for mitzvahs that you rarely get to do, and you can sign up, and when they find a bird's nest, they'll call you up and say, quick, got a pamo, there's a bird's nest. And you hop in your car, and this happens to be very big, because the Medrash tells us it's a segula for children. Shiluach HaKein is... What happened? But the Medrash says Shaleach Tishach v'Hava Bonim Tekach Loch Habonim Tekach Loch. The Medrash says really is Bonim. So people who are trying to have children sign up on these lists looking for birds' nests, and they chase them down, and they in fact they do that.
The positive answer to the question implies that is to do a different mitzvah. But my choice is to run after a mitzvah that I had did before, as opposed to.
So you just raised an interesting point. There. You said that it's, you assume that it has to be one I never did before. Right. Let's say yesterday I did Shiluach HaKein, and now there's another one. I could spend my whole day running after bird's nest, or the like. Right? And there's no shortage of this. These people, if you sign up, you can do Lekka Chiklan Peya, you can do Rachis Hagez, and everything. So there's no shortage of mitzvahs you never. If you really luck out, maybe you get a pigeon petach hamor for all I know. You know, that person can. So let's discuss that now. Is there an inyan of a checklist? So So Al-Pi Kabbalah, with our Rizal, has this idea. It's quoted in number 10 a little bit, which is as follows. So there's a famous Arizal, beginning of the Hakdama L'Shara Mitzvahs, that people are very well aware of half of it. And the half people are aware of it is as follows. The Arizal tells us that there are 365 negative commandments and 248 positive commandments. The 248 positive commandments are connected to Ramach Evarim, that there's 248 positive commandments, just like there are 248 limbs in the body. And there are 365 negative commandments, just like there are 365 gidin, 365 sinews, whatever that might be. So there is a connection between the amount of mitzvahs and the person's body. Most people, I imagine, are well aware of that. People are not aware of where he goes with that. The Arizal then says it is necessary for every time you do one of the mitzvahs, each mitzvah is connected to a certain part of the body, and every time you do a mitzvah, probably it is mesaking that part of the body. Somehow it raises that part of the body, whatever that means, on Pi Kabbalah. And it is necessary that a person in their lifetime do all of the mitzvahs to be mesaking the entire guf, and in the event that you do not do that, you are a Baal Mum. And it says, Baal Mum al Yakriv, that a Baal Mum can't come forward. And therefore, anybody who is not Mekayim, all the mitzvahs, has to come back as a Gilgul. So that is where Gilgulim come from.
I know the voice of my wife, I gotta come back.
Yeah, listen. So and one could point out that there are certain mitzvahs that only a Kohen can do, only Kohen Gadol, only men, only women. Not everybody can do them all. How can you do it? So there's a lot of discussion about it. Could be the answer. So that's why it's necessary that maybe that nobody can make it in one shot. Everyone's got to come back a few times as Gilgal. So that is the famous statement of the Arizal. The Arizal says that there is this concept that a person should try to do every mitzvah at least once in his lifetime. And he clearly states on his list of mitzvahs that a person has to be careful to do Shiluach HaKein. He said that even though Shiluach HaKein, you know, it happens to be, if you happen to run into a bird's nest and you want the eggs, then you should do this. So one would think that a person could ignore it. So what's the most common kosher bird that we have in New York?
Pigeon.
How many people are interested in pigeon eggs? Not many. So therefore, I might shrug and say, if he said, still, a person should try to do it in order to be misaking that either, in order that the person will not have to come back as a Gilgal. That is the Arizal's comment, where he indicates that for sure, then maybe Alpi Nister, there's nothing to talk about. However, Alpi Nigla, Alpi Kabbalah, it is definitely important that a person go around trying to collect all the mitzvahs that he can, at least once in his lifetime. You walk around with a checklist with 613 mitzvahs on it, and just to the extent possible, keep on checking them off. The question is this just some Kabbalistic idea which we may or may not accept? Or is there any mocker for this in the Gemara at all? So actually, I think there might be a mocker. You have to dig a little bit to find it. And that mocker would be in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. If you look in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, it's number 11. It talks about Poshe Yisrael Begufa. That among the people who who are in real trouble come Rosh Hashanah time are Poshe Yisrael Begufa. So Gemara says, Poshe Yisrael Begufa, mayni hu. Who are these Poshe Yisrael Begufa? Amarav karkaftadlo manach tefillin. Someone who doesn't wear tefillin. That's when the poshe yisrael begufa, it's a very bad thing. If you look at the riff on the Gemara, he has a slightly different girsa. What does he say? Poshe yisrael begufa, umaynihu, karkaftadlo manach tefillin me'olam. Not if you forget to put on tefillin one time, are you a poshe yisrael begufa? But in fact, if you never put on tefillin, you are considered from the Poshe Yisrael Begufa, and therefore, whatever happens, happens. If you look at the Ran in his Perish on the Rif, he explains why does the Rif make this change. So look at number 13. Umayhi karkafta d'lamonach tefillin le'olam. V'hu adin l'shar mitzvasase shebegufo, shelo kaiman le'olam. He said, tefillin is not special. Any mitzvah that you don't do, at least once in your lifetime, if you never do it, that gives you this status. So you read on a little bit in Rabbeinu Tam, may disagree a little bit, But the bottom line is this would seem to be, at least the Ron's understanding of the Rif's Girsa of this Gemara, perhaps is the same idea that the Arizal is bringing down on Pikabola. That there are mitzvahs, everybody has to try to do every mitzvah at least once in their lifetime. And in the event that you don't do the mitzvah once in your lifetime, ein lochelk olam haba, you can't get olam haba, rather, you have to come back in a Gilgal, etc., etc. Again, I'll just point out that the concept of Gilgulim is worthy of a shir unto itself. It is not clear at all. In fact, many of the classical Jewish philosophers of the Rishonim didn't think there was such a thing as Gilgul at all, which would definitely undermine this if there is no such thing. But according to the Arizal school of thought, which very Arizal has a sefer, the Shara Gilgulim, or Chaim Vital with the Sefer Gilgulim on it, according to that school of thought, this all fits together very nicely, that people have to go out of their way and try to do every single mitzvah at least once in their lifetime, in order that they can be misaki in the goof, etc. That there is definitely an inyan of radifas ha-mitzvahs, according to this, that a person has to do whatever he can to put himself into a makom chiya mitzvah, to a situation where there is an opportunity to mitzvah, and then to do the mitzvahs. Now, while that sounds very nice, upon reflection, it can be somewhat difficult. So, for example, of the 613 mitzvahs, we pointed out that there are 365 negative mitzvahs. How is someone mekayim a negative mitzvah? How am I mekayim lo sirtzach? Am I just right now standing here? As we speak, I'm not killing anybody. Therefore, I'm being mekayim lo sirtzach. Or do I have to actively do something? So the Gemara in Makos on Chav Gimel says that anybody who does not do an Aveira gets schar as if he was Mekayim a Mitzvah. But the Gemara in Kedushim, when I'm a test, it's only if Bali Yadol. If I have an opportunity to do an Aveira and I don't do it, I get schar. As opposed to if there's no opportunity, I don't get schar. So what does that mean to us? Does that mean that, let's say I want to be Mekayim Bo Sirtzach, it would be a good idea for me to take a gun, put it to someone's head, and not fire? Now I'm Mekayim the Mitzvah Bo Sirtzach. Right? Maybe that, I know, and we can play this out through many other mitzvahs. All the Los Assays, if we're talking about Mekayim, all Tariyag mitzvahs, and clearly, right, the Rizal doesn't make any secrets about it. He means all the positive, all the negative. Is there an inyan that I should try to be Mekayim the Los Assays as well? So everyone writes that clearly that's not the case. Clearly that there's no reason that a person has to do it. Why not? So again, there are two slightly different schools of thoughts on this. One of them is the Ramban in Parshas Yisro, indicates that mitzvahs Aseh represent the midah of Ava, and mitzvahs Los Aseh represent the midah of Yira. Right? The positive commandments are the way that we show that we love God by doing things for Him, and the negative commandments is the way we show we fear God by staying away. So when it comes to the meat of Ava, it makes sense that even though Akash Baruch Hu didn't ask for this, if I can get a situation where he would want me to do it and then do it, that really shows Ava Yisera. That I am really going out of my way to do whatever I can. Even if he hasn't asked for it now, finding things to do for Akash Baruch Hu, that would seem to me a positive thing. When it comes to Yira, though, there's no reason exactly that I want to run into a situation where he doesn't want me to do something. Right? It would be best to keep my distance as much as I can. So there's really no such thing as volunteering a Los Aseh. Right? Coming close to it, right? I tell my kids not to run in the street. So what would I rather appreciate? If they just stand on the sidewalk, or if they start nudging their way up to the edge to see how much they can get away with? Obviously, it's a greater sign of Yira if they stay where they're supposed to be, rather than seeing how far they can push it. Right? So obviously, according to the Ramban, it doesn't make any sense to try to get yourself into a potential Los Aseh and then at the last second pull back. Interesting, there's another approach, which is similar, which is an approach of the Maharal, and it's Gur Aryeh in Parshas Vayigash. It's going on, the Gur Aryeh is the Pirush on Rashi, Rashi and Vayigash, on the Pasuk of Shol ben HaKananis. We're listing off the children of Shimon, among the children is Shaul ben Akananus. So who was Shaul ben Akananus? And Rashi explains that after Shimon and Levi wiped out Shechem, so they went to rescue Dina. Dina wasn't willing to go. Dina said, I'm not going with you. So why not? She said, here, I was raped by this guy. I'll never find a shidduch. Right? Better for me to stay here. So she did not leave until Shimon agreed to marry her. So, the Maharal asks, that's a little problematic. Right? And it happened, if you figure it out, not only did they have the same father, right, so he tries to deal it. We know that the Avos kept all the mitzvahs, Kol Matan and Torah. This would count as one of them, you'd expect. So, the Maharal's approach there is there's no such thing as volunteering in mitzvahs lo sase. You can volunteer and say, I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes this. And even though he didn't ask me to do it, you know, still, I know it's something he likes. I can still do it. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu never told me not to do something, I can't volunteer not to do it. He never indicated there's anything wrong with it. I said, those things is volunteering lo sase. He uses that for a very interesting point. He said, how come women don't grow pears? Right? We know women volunteer to shake lulav, they don't have to do it. They do all sorts of mitzvahs they don't have to do. They hear shofar. Why don't they grow payas? So he said, that's the idea behind it. You can't volunteer a losase. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu never asked for it, you can't volunteer it. So whatever approach you take, obviously losases don't fall into the category of mitzvahs that we run after. Another kid question. Lav hanitak la'ase. So in this week's parasha, by Korban Pesach, you have the concept of Srefas Noser. What's Srefas Noser? That a person has to eat the Korban Pesach on time. If you don't eat it on time, whatever's left over, so you're over an Avera for not eating it on time. However, if you did it, you're supposed to burn the Noser, the leftovers after it, and that's a Mitzvah Saseh. That's somewhat correct. So the question is there an idea that should someone to be Mekayim, the Mitzvah Srefas Noser, be over the Avera of Noser? To put it in more practical terms, let's go through other mitzvahs. V'heshev es ha-gezeila asher gozal. If somebody steals something, there's a positive mitzvah to return it. Should I be makbid to steal something in order to be Mekayim it, right? Another mitzvah, v'losi el-isha. There's a mitzvah in the event that you rape a woman to marry her. So should a person go, and it's only if she agrees. A person might have to try 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 times until he can be Mekayim the mitzvah. Right? Is there an inyan to run after this type of mitzvah? That a person is going to dafka, shall we say, steal in order to be to Mekayim the mitzvah v'heshev es ha-gezeila asher gozal. So it goes without saying that however you're going to formulate it, this is not something that we're going to encourage. We're not encouraging people to go out and steal in order that they can be returning it. Obviously, you're not doing HaKadosh Baruch Hu any favors here by doing an avera to allow you to do a mitzvah. Right. What? Right, okay, you say as opposed to Vosi of Isha, might be a perfectly fine idea. So we assume not that way. If you look in most of the Sfarim, they write down that obviously, even if a person has the most noble of intentions in this Geneva, still, obviously, this seems to be somewhat similar to a Lo Saseh. If you want to show that you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doing an Avera is not the way to do it. You know, to purposely do Averas in order to bring a Korban Chatas, even though Korban Chatas is a mitzvah, obviously, that's not the type of thing we want to encourage. Another category, this is actually raised in a very interesting place, the Satmar Rebbe, in his magnum opus, Vayol Moshe, in his Maimer Yishev Eretz Yisrael, has to discuss this as well. Right? He points out that there's no mitzvah Yishev Eretz Yisrael anymore. Let's say that there's not a mitzvah to go back anymore. Still, people might want to make aliyah for this reason, like Moshe Rabbeinu. You know that by living in Eretz Yisrael, now you're mekayim so many mitzvahs that you don't get an opportunity to do in Chutz Laretz. maybe that would be a reason that a person should support moving to Eretz Yisrael. So the Sadma Rebbe has the following approach. And again, whether you agree with his ultimate use of it or not, the logic is quite strong. He brings down the issue of Bechoros, that it says in the Shulchan Aruch, obviously, that there's a mitzvah Bechor. That if somebody's animal gives birth to a Bechor, that Bechor is a karbon, and a person has to bring it on the Mizbeach. You can't be poda your Bechor unless the Bechor develops a type of mum, a type of blemish that will not ever be fixed. A mum she'en al chozer. So, a mum kavua. So, in fact, if you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that there are three types of smicha that are given. One is the classic yara yara. The second is yadin yadin on the Dionys. And the third one is yatir b'choros. It's the old joke here in YU. We give yatir yatir. But what it really means is that a person would need a certain amount of studying to be able to look at an animal and see the type of mum that it has and determine whether or not that is the type of mum that is chozer or not, which would allow you to be poded or not. Think of YU, if for the right donor, we'll study Yatir B'choros Kolo, but as of now, we do not have one. So that's the story. And up until the point where this animal gets a mum, if you didn't bring it as a carbon, you can't do anything to it. You can't use it to work, etc. Anything that you can't get any benefit of it, and in the event that you would, that would be considered me'ila, which is a serious avera. So what do we do b'zman hazeh? B'zman hazeh, unfortunately, we cannot bring a carbon, and we hope that we will rectify this soon enough. But for the last 1900 years or so, this has been a problem. What do you do about it? You're going to have a situation where you have a bechor in your corral, and someone's accidentally going to use it. It's a terrible avera. So the Shulchan Aruch recommends that if you're in a situation where your animal is about to give birth, your behemoth tahora is about to give birth to a firstborn, that you should sell that animal to a guy, like you sell your chametz. Like you say that you sell the animal to the guy. A guy whose animal has a bechor is not chayiv in any of this, and then you buy it back. So this would seem to be the exact opposite of what we're talking about. Right? Here we are talking about putting ourselves into a situation where a person is going to be chayiv in mitzvahs. Now this is a situation the exact opposite. One could have been chayiv in the mitzvah of bechor, and instead he's taking himself out. How could it be? So the Sadma Rebbe says, what do you see from the Shulchan Aruch? You see, any mitzvah that's potential takala to it, any mitzvah that there's potential danger, that there is significant downside, that in the event that you do this mitzvah, not only won't you get a mitzvah, but there's a possibility, perhaps a strong possibility, that you're going to get an aveira. That is not the type of mitzvah you want to run after. Obviously, the Sadma Rebbe uses that about moving to Eretz Yisrael. Might have some upsides, but of course, the tremendous potential downsides. That's how the Sadma Rebbe uses it. Leaving that aside, for our use, so you see another category of mitzvah that we don't run after. And mitzvah is yesh bo takola. Right? So, just to list off, we have three categories. One is the mitzvah of los aseis in general. Two would be rava nitach l'asei. And three would be mitzvot yesh bo takala. These would all be mitzvot that are exempt from the rule of radifa. You don't want to get involved in these mitzvot. There is a lot of discussion about various mitzvot, how does it work. Just to give you some of the popular ones, interesting ones, the kosher lover, the Eretz Hatzvi, has a shaila about the date line. Right, the question is as follows. So let's say this is the international dateline right over here, running through Washington Heights. So here it's Sunday and there it's Shabbos. And yesterday here was Shabbos and there was Friday. Am I allowed to do this? So here I stay here for Friday, and as about to come Shabbos, I step into Sunday. And I skip Shabbos. Is that okay? I can go week after week without having a Shabbos. Ha, there goes Yom Kippur. Right, a person has That's fancy enough for you. You have trouble fasting? Don't worry. Right over here. There you go. You stand over there. I'll tell you when to come back. Right? The question. The question is, you know, is a person allowed to do that, or does that necessarily undermine this whole idea? You try to mechayv yourself in mitzvahs, right? Maybe I should say that way. Maybe I should say, okay, yesterday I was here for Shabbos, now I'm back here for Shabbos. You can have 2 day Shabbos. Right? People joke, Sunday, Shabbos Sheni Shogolius, right? It's another day off. Right? So, obviously there's a lot of discussion about various cases about what I should do. It. Should a person do Shechita once in his lifetime? Should a person try to do Kisui Adam once in his lifetime? Right? Long list of mitzvahs that there is a discussion whether or not a person has to or is encouraged to put himself into that situation. I just wanted to focus on one mitzvah, which is particularly relevant nowadays, and that is the mitzvah of Shemitah. There is a movement, it seems to be more of a fundraising attempt, of certain organizations where they will sell you for the price of $18, $36, $54, $180 a 2x2 plot of land in Israel, which they guarantee will not work. And you can be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Shemitah as if you were in Eretz Yisrael. So the question is this a good idea, a bad idea? How do we view this? Again, this is something that's very timely and very relevant. So before, obviously the first step to discuss here is what is the mitzvah of Shemitah? Okay, there's an ase and a los ase, but what is the mitzvah? There's two logical possibilities. What we would call in brisk talk, is it a mitzvah of the chefza or a mitzvah of the gavra? Is it a mitzvah of the chefza that my land in Israel should not be worked? Or is it a mitzvah of the gavra that I should not work the land on Shemitah? If you assume that's a mitzvah on the gavre, that I should not. So I, right now, as we speak, I am not working the land of Israel in Shemitah, and I am being mekayem the mitzvah as we all are. If that's the case, there's no sense in buying a plot of land, because I'm mekayem the mitzvah with or without. If, however, it's a mitzvah that my piece of land should not be worked, then obviously, if I don't have a piece of land, we can't talk about it. So if you look at the Rambam at number 15, it says as follows, beginning of the Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, exactly where you'd expect to find it. Mitzvahs Aseh Lishbos Me'avodos Ha'aretz Me'avodos Ha'ilom Mishnas Ha'shvih Shnema V'shavsa Ha'aretz Shabbos La'Hashem V'nem V'chorsh V'kotir Tishbos, etc. V'chol Ha'oseh Melacha Me'avodos Ha'aretz Olivanos Mishonazu, Bita Mitzvahs Aseh, over Alos Aseh, Shnemar, Sarcho Los Israel, Vacharcho Los Izbor. How would you read the Rambam? Well, Gavra, the Rambam seems to be saying, Gavra, if you look at the Tosfos Rid before, he spells it out more, that according to the Rambam and according to Tosfos Rid and many Rishonim, that the Mitzvah and Isser, right, both the Aseh and Los say it's a Mitzvah on the Gavra. That it's a mitzvah that I should not work the land in Eretz Yisrael this year, and Baruch Hashem, as I sit here speaking to you, I am not working the land of Israel this year, and I am being mekayim the mitzvah of Shemitah, Baruch Hashem. However, not everybody agrees. The Ritva in Avodah Zarah disagrees. The Ritva understands that it's not a mitzvah on the Gavra, that the person should not work it, but rather it's a mitzvah on the Chefza, that my land in Israel should not be worked. So according to the Ritva, one can begin to discuss whether or not it makes sense to go and buy this piece of land. So one might want to say that, yeah, in fact, this is a situation where it wouldn't make sense. I can be mekayim the mitzvah by owning a piece of land. However, according to the rules that we have set forth, I think even that's not true. Even according to the Ritva, this doesn't make any sense. Why? So again, as far as the los ase shabo, for sure not. No, that's not an issue. But there's an ase. One would think that as much as b'charis, this is an ase sheyesh bo k'takola. Right now, I don't own any land in Israel. Therefore, it is impossible for me to be over the issur of working my land in Israel. By buying land, yes, I'm a kind of mitzvah, but also suddenly I made it possible to be over in Avera. But since it's possible for me to be over in Avera, one would assume that this is one of the cases I don't want to run after. If I own land in Israel, stam, good, I should be careful to do it. I'm in such a situation. as they want to be makayim the mitzvah. But to specifically run and buy some land, so yes, it allows me, according to the Ritva, to sort of be makayim the mitzvah, which I didn't need before, according to the Rambam and everybody else. But still, it also allows me to do the Aveira. Not being the case, it's not, this would not be proper. The classic case where this comes up is also by Nadarim. Right? There is a mitzvah to keep your neder. Motzei Svasecha Tishmor. Whatever you say, there's a mitzvah to be Mekayim a neder. However, there's a serum involved if somebody takes a neder and does not keep it. Do we encourage people to take Nadarim? Say, Toshalotidar. Better that you shouldn't take Nadarim. Right? This would seem to be the same case as this. Why? If I take a neder, it allows me to Mekayim and do an Asayim. However, it also allows me to be over it. Therefore, a situation where I'm putting where I'm now in a case where I can not only do good, but I can also do bad, I should avoid that. So too, one would imagine the same thing here. In fact, the Gemara tells us, call no, there's Nikra Rasha. So I would think that based on what we set forth here, that it's probably not a good idea to buy these pieces of land. One, according to many, if not most of the Rishonim, you're Mekayim the Mitzvah without it. And even according to the other, you need this to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, still it's the type of Mitzvah that we might not want to be Mekayim because there's potential Takala involved with it as well. So all in all, it's a very interesting situation. We should try to do Mitzvahs whenever possible. And however, we should also be at the same time be very careful about not doing Averis. Yes? Well, it's funny because there was a rumor going around that, in fact, one of these places, the land was being worked. So that I don't know about. But still, the fact that this is the type of mitzvah that comes with it, takala, is still, you know, that's the type that you should avoid. It's categorically not a good idea. I think it's different. Okay, but you're still making brachas, right? The question is, the brachas of Muslims do rice and those are the rabban. It's only the rice of eating kadei sviya, right?
The first question, the real thought is, it comes up where instead of running after this
verse. Right. That's
the Rambam a bit restricts mitzvah sasei shebegufo. Is that limit mitzvah sasei somewhat?
I mean, it's going on the Gemara, it refers as Poshe Yisrael Big Gufon. So that's why he tries to.
A mitzvah sasei shebegufo, less of a category than all mitzvah sasei, or?
Yeah, there are mitzvah sasei that are not Big Gufon.